Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs, best darn food in a railroad town. Joined now by Clark Fossler to talk Royals baseball. He is with Baseball Prospectus. We talk to Clark every year. And Clark, it is Friday the 13th. Are you a superstitious guy here?
I am not. My son wears number 13 when he plays baseball, so we're not superstitious at all.
You're not scared of that at all. Well, we need to come up with something a little bit more lucky for the Royals. Off to a poor start at 3-8. I mean, going into the season, did you feel like this team was going to really struggle?
I did. I wasn't sure. I had in my head that maybe this team might get off to a little bit of a hot start and, you know, kind of hang on to that and not be atrocious. Obviously, that hasn't happened. It's been really cold. It's been hard to play baseball for a while too. So, I was optimistically hoping they'd get in the mid 70s for a win total for the year, and you know I've pulled back from that already based on how they've started. So, I think everyone kind of expected this team to struggle, especially early, but also throughout the season.
Well, let's start with the fact that. I want to start with the minor league system, which is not very good. And to me, I've heard some people say, well, they don't understand why the Royals signed John Jay, Lucas Duda, Justin Grimm, got Moustakas back. And I say, well, they got the young guys aren't ready. So none of these guys are blocking anybody from playing right now. Bubba Starling is not ready. They needed somebody with John Jay. Then on top of everything, with the minor league system not being very good, then Jorge Bonifacio, they counted on to be a bat in this lineup. They like his bat. He's suspended for 80 games. And then Salvi, carrying his luggage up the stairs, messes up his knee the day before the season begins. So it almost seems like this team was cursed from the very beginning.
Well, it really does. I mean, the Salvi injury, that's such a freak thing. That's a bad way to go into the season with something like that happening. And Bonifacio, I mean, you know, that's too bad. He was going to play a big role on this team. And I thought he was poised to have, you know, he's not going to be a star, but I thought he was poised to maybe come out and have a solid year, some power bat in there. He's a little bit of an on-base guy, frankly. Would have been probably hitting maybe second by the time the season really got going. So that hurt them a lot. And you're right. There's really nobody that's being blocked in Omaha or Northwest Arkansas. I mean, you might make a case for Hunter Dozier, but I don't know that there's harm in him being down there for, you know, a few more months. That's the name that pops into mind. Mondesi's on the DL, and, you know, I don't know if he was ready either. So there's nobody sitting down there behind Duda, behind John Jay, that it's harming to be in Omaha right now.
And that's the problem, isn't it? That you don't have guys ready to play at the minor leagues to be ready for a rebuild. I keep hearing people say the Royals in the midst of a rebuild. To me, they haven't started it yet.
No, they really haven't. They're just kind of patching it together. This is reminds you a little bit of, you know, the 2007-2008 seasons where they kind of patched in some veterans, kind of had some guys that were okay, not great. And they were waiting for, you know, these younger guys to come up and be ready. And there's some talent in the low minors playing in A-ball this year. And there's some guys with some power, some first basemen kind of in Omaha, in Northwest Arkansas. But they aren't quite ready, I mean, or at least aren't pushing to get to the majors. So, you know, really the rebuild may be next year, I mean, at best. Unless someone here, you know, if Merrifield hits like he did last year, if Mondesi comes off the DL and is somebody, and Bonifacio comes back in July and picks up where he left off, then maybe you could say it's Soler if he starts to hit. Then you could say we've started down that path anyway. Really, Jake Junis is the only guy on this team right now that you would think is a young guy that they're giving reps to that is part of a rebuild to being a good team again down the road.
I like where you're going there. Clark Fossler, Baseball Prospectus, with us, talk Royals baseball. Because if you look at this team as it's put together right now, 2 years from now, there's not many guys that are going to really be on this team that are cornerstones of a rebuild. You mentioned Merrifield and Junis, maybe. Those two, I guess. So Lair, possibly. But really, after that, I mean, you hope Salvi will be, but you don't know with injuries. Cuthbert, he plays third, he's playing first. I don't know what they think of Cuthbert. Apparently not enough because they re-signed Mike Moustakas. I'm just not, I'm just trying to figure out what the Royals' strategy is, and it does seem to me, I agree with you, it's just basically, you know, that there's water leaking out of the dam, and they're putting some gum on it.
They are, and, you know, Moustakas kind of fell back in their lap. They were almost had to sign him, I guess, you know. And again, I don't see a big harm in that. I mean, Cuthbert is a serviceable player. I think I kind of like him. But he's not going to be. He shouldn't be hitting fourth.
No.
You know, he's not that guy. He can play first a little. He can play third a little. He can DH. He can hit well enough to DH, but not full time. He's a nice rotation guy to come off the bench. You know, Moustakas being in front of him, I don't think that harm's a big deal. Like I said, Dozier's the guy that gets blocked by the trickle down effect there, and I don't think that's a huge deal. You know, at least until mid season. You know, if Dozier goes off in Omaha, great. He pushes up and somebody has to go. You know, chances are Lucas Duda is going to be hurt again here sometime. He has a big injury history. Moustakas, can he stay healthy all year? Who knows? So, I mean, there's going to be opportunities for that progression to happen. You know, like you said, what are they could go the Astros route and lose 120 games.
Yeah.
That was the alternative to what they're doing now, and I don't know that losing 120 with guys that maybe aren't your premier prospects anyway makes any sense.
No, I'm with you on that. Let's talk about Mondesi, because to me he's the poster child for what the Royals need to do with a rebuild. And they've tried here the last couple of years, hoping that he'd be ready. Last year, won the job out of spring training, couldn't keep it. They're hoping he'd grab the position. They could use Witt in different positions, maybe in the outfield, maybe even at first base. And once again, Mondesi didn't grab it. What are the thoughts on Mondesi right now? Because he's still very young, but it seems to be that that's the guy that really needs to take off for us to really kickstart a rebuild, doesn't it?
Or, you know, that's, I think, who they were really looking to, you know, and last year they tried to force the issue by having him be the opening day second baseman. He's the one that's got it, you know, there's all sorts of potential there. Hasn't really translated into any big minor league seasons. You know, it's all tools right now. Several years ago you would hear Dayton Moore talk about how Francisco Lindor for the Indians didn't have great minor league numbers and came up and was better at the higher levels. And I think they were hoping Mondesi was that guy. I mean, who wouldn't want to have Francisco Lindor? But he hasn't really done it. He's had some issues with injuries. He's maybe a little immature. Dare we say, was there a sense of entitlement in there, being the number one prospect? I don't know. I mean, there's been a little talk about that. And so he hasn't, again, still young. You forget how young he is. He could come up now and be a young major league player. So, you know, there's still time, and sometimes you have to kind of go through a little turmoil like he has, maybe grow up a little bit, come up and be the player that we hope he can be. If he is, there's somebody you can start to build around, if he's the player they thought he was going to be. And then you have these other guys coming in next year, maybe 2 years, maybe it's three. But Mondesi would still be there. He hasn't burned that much service time. And then maybe you have something. But he would be Mondesi emerging at some point this year as a legitimate major league starter, whether it's at short or second, would be huge for this team.
The draft, there's been a lot of talk that the Royals are going to have, I think, four or five draft picks in the first 50 or so, something like that, because of getting picks with Hosmer and Kane signing their deals. Of course, they're thinking they'd get another one with Moose, and he didn't get a $50 million deal for anybody else. But I hear this, and that's all fine and dandy, and it happens in all sports. Well, you know, we got two first-round picks in the NFL draft. Well, it's about who you draft and who you develop. Just because you have the fifth overall pick doesn't mean that guy is going to pan out. You know, you look at the Royals, and they kind of lightning in a bottle, got it all to come together, and they made some very shrewd trades to supplement it. But we know about, you know, Hosmer and Moustakas. They were the corner pieces that turned things around for this organization, and certainly Hosmer's gone now with the Padres. But you look at the Royals drafting. I mean, you know, Christian Colon was a bust. I'm sorry. I know he did a couple things in the World Series, but he for a top five pick, that's not what you want, a utility guy. Kyle Zimmer, all kind of injury problems. You feel bad for the guy. Perhaps he's cursed, but it doesn't look like he's going to do anything in the near future. And then Bubba Starling, which I thought when they drafted Bubba, that I thought that was more about the Kansas kid, and I thought there were guys that they probably should have drafted other than Bubba, but I was willing to see how it would work. And so far, he's been a bust. Now, I say so far because there's no question a light bulb could go off a little bit later. They could be late bloomers in regards to Bubba Starling. But when you look at the Royals' track record, and people get all excited, and I hear this, and I see this on social media, well, the Royals are going to have so many picks in the upcoming draft. That doesn't mean anything if you can't draft anybody or you can't develop them.
Well, that's exactly right. And they have a fairly poor history with the high-level draft picks post-Moustakas. And that's really what we're talking about here. I mean, you're talking, they've done a nice job farther down in the draft, mining some talent down there. But those guys aren't going to pop up in 2019 and help this team win, or 2020. If you want to draft somebody and get better sooner, you've got to hit on those first four or five picks they have in the draft this year. And they really haven't shown it. I mean, Zimmer hasn't done anything. Starling, they got a little snake bit there. They really thought they were going to get one of the five pitchers taken in front of him. And apparently, you know, had a deal worked out with Dylan Bundy. That's really who they thought they were going to get. And that would have been a fun change to history.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have to hit on this draft, or this group, this administration probably isn't going to be back in the playoffs. I mean, I think it's almost as simple as that, frankly.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. Okay, let's talk about the product on the field right now. We know the offense has struggled, and you know, when you look at John Jay, he's probably a fourth outfielder for most teams. He's starting for the Royals, and he's your leadoff guy. Lucas Duda is a guy that's probably more of a guy that could rotate with another person at DH or first base, a righty-lefty platoon. He's not really an everyday player, it doesn't seem like. He's in this lineup when he's healthy. And you mentioned Cuthbert batting fourth. And then Moustakas doesn't have protection in this lineup, and with Salvi out as well. So the offense is not very good. We can move on from that because we know they haven't been scoring runs. I don't think either one of us has the answers on how they're going to score more. It's just going to hopefully happen. But I want to talk about the bullpen, how the Royals constructed this bullpen. They got a couple of Rule 5 picks that they need to keep on the roster all year long to keep them. And Brandon Maurer, as I saw an article written, I think, on Royals Reviews, talking about how he's the gas can, and he did it again last night. Talk about this bullpen and how this bullpen can improve, and what are the key pieces for the Royals in this bullpen, and do you think that Herrera or somebody like that might be on the trade block come around All-Star time?
Oh, I think Herrera is definitely on the trading block. I think we can hope for nothing more than he continues to pitch like he did in the first five games, and like he has pretty much all the time except for maybe the last half of last season. I think he'll be gone by July. He should be. Some contender's going to need him, and he can really get guys out. Let's not forget, Kelvin Herrera's got a track record, and he's 28 years old. The rest of the bullpen, I mean, Maurer's a puzzle. I mean, I'm sure no one else wanted him, so they couldn't get rid of him. He's got the electric arm. He should be better than he is, but he never has been, really. They let some guys go, and Ryan Buchter, guys like that, Scott Alexander, that could really help this, that are frankly better than Blaine Boyer and Brandon Maurer. I don't mind the Grimm pickup. I'll give Dayton more credit on this front. Finding a guy like Justin Grimm, which is a guy like Ryan Matson, a veteran guy that's going to get it back, and finding a guy like Brad Keller, a Rule 5 guy that can, at least for now, get people out, that's got some upside.
Mm-hmm.
He's good at finding those guys. I question what he did, though, with Boyer, with Maurer, with some of the guys he moved off. Now, I'm sure he's building down the road, and, you know, what's the bullpen matter this year if we're going to score one run a game? And he's not wrong. But you look at this season, and there's, you know, two games right now. We played 11. There's two games that if we had a bullpen that approached what this team had in past years, we probably win. And then you're 5-6, and you say, well, we're not going to be horrible. We're going to have something to watch in August. We'll show up at the ballpark. And what's happening now is this team may just not be able to hold a lead. And unless Junis and Kennedy are going to keep throwing up zeros and ones, we're not going to be in very many games. And if it's a 3-3 game and we go to the bullpen and we can't get to Herrera, it's going to be tough. It's going to be the dark ages, like 2004 and 5, when the bullpen came in and you just buckled up.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. I want to go to Alex Gordon. He's on the DL. He's going to try to avoid surgery. I don't know if Gordon's going to play again for the Royals, to be quite honest with you. If he has surgery, he's going to be out for a long time. He might be out for a long time without surgery. He's been a declining player ever since they won the World Series. That contract has just been a major noose around the neck of the Royals. And to me, people point to the contract and the money and what they're going to owe him next year and all that. I point to the moves they made because Alex Gordon wasn't what they thought he was going to be. And that is that they went out and they traded for Melky Cabrera. They wouldn't have traded for Melky Cabrera if Alex Gordon was doing what they thought he should be doing offensively. So they give up a couple prospects there. That further depletes your minor league system. They don't have things in the minors in regards to the pitching, so they stretch and they overpay for Ian Kennedy. Those two contracts, I know Kennedy's been good so far this year, but he was good to start last year too. Then he had some injuries. Those two contracts, to me, set the tone or the table for some of the moves that Dayton has made, because then the talk was during the offseason, we need to shed some payroll, plus they wanted to make some room to make a push for Eric Hosmer. And so as a result, what do, Clark? They package Scott Alexander in a trade, a very valuable piece in their bullpen, just to unload Joaquin Soria in his contract. And now, like you mentioned a moment ago, he would help this team. I'm not saying he would get him in the playoffs or anything like that, but it seems like it's a trickle-down effect. Those decisions that Dayton made with Alex Gordon and Ian Kennedy, but specifically Gordon, and they've been compounded over the last couple of years. Would you agree with that?
I would. The Gordon contract, and count me among the many, I was all for it. I thought, here's a guy who keeps himself in shape, works hard. He's not going to fall off the table. Yeah, he's getting older, but he's going to maintain some level of production, and he simply has dropped off the edge of the earth as far as production, as far as health, and it's crippled the Royals as far as what they wanted to do. It put them, frankly, in a win now mode with Gordon's contract, and so maybe, and I didn't mind them hanging on to Hosmer, Kane, those guys last year, but it kind of put them in the mode, we've got this big money out for him. We've got big money out for Kennedy. We've got these guys one more year. Let's push it and try and get to the playoffs one more time. And frankly, you know, we get back to the draft. Now they got to rely on the draft as opposed to maybe mining some prospects for the likes of Hosmer and Kane. And that all can trace back to the fact that they've got, you know what? What do we have? $33 million between Kennedy and Gordon going out this year, or something approaching that. Yeah. A big number for this franchise. Yeah. And so it really has hurt this team as far as moves they have made. I think it has pushed more to try and make moves to forestall the rebuilding process, because we are paying this big money and trying to squeeze a few more wins, another playoff berth out of the existing group, when maybe we should have started the rebuild last year. And some people will say we should have started the rebuild the year after the World Series. I'm not on that train. No, but last year, yes.
Well, and that's the thing, too. When you look at what with Gordon, is that here's the other problem to me, is that, okay, there's nobody ready to push Gordon out. I mean, Gordon, as badly as he's been, there's not anybody ready to play every day in left field for the Kansas City Royals. I mean, if Mondesi comes through and he's their second baseman, okay, then Witt can be everyday left fielder. You can cut bait with Alex Gordon. But they don't have anybody pushing, and it's sad when a guy's hitting under 200 or 208 last year and declining, that he's still a really good defensive player. They don't have anybody to push him out. I think if they did, Gordon might not be on this team now. I think he'd definitely be released during the offseason, not be on this team next year, and they'd eat the money. But there, once again, is the indictment of the minor league system. There's nobody really, sad to say, to just take his job.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, you know, you can say if Bonifacio hadn't gotten suspended, there's somebody that would push, because you'd have John Jay, but I don't think they signed John Jay if they didn't know Bonifacio was going to get that suspension.
I agree with you.
And so you're right. There isn't that spot. I mean, you know, Paulo Orlando isn't going to push him out. Jorge Soler, he's the guy. We talk about what makes this team better. There's your wild card.
Yeah.
Soler's got all the tools in the world. He gets hot and hits and keeps hitting. Things change with this franchise in a hurry as far as what happens next year and what happens with Alex Gordon. And frankly, if Gordon's got another hip issue, like they're talking about, and all of a sudden he is a average or slightly above average outfielder, he has zero value.
Exactly.
You know, and that's sad. I mean, I grew up in the same town Alex Gordon did. He's a great guy. He works hard.
Yeah.
He's not the case of a guy that got the big money and quit. He's just a case of a guy that got old all of a sudden.
Yep. When we saw Billy Butler quickly get out of this league, I mean, all of a sudden he was gone. And the only thing that keeps Gordon going is, one, nobody pushing him, like you said, and then, two, that he is a really good defensive player, and Billy, of course, was not that. Starting pitching, I mean, it's been really good so far. It was wasted again last night with Ian Kennedy. It seems like we went through this conversation last year where the Royals' starting pitching was really good early in the year, and the hitting struggled, and we said it's going to balance itself out. The pitching's going to struggle at some point, and the hitting's going to come around. Do you feel the same way about this version?
Well, I don't know about the starting pitching. I'm really worried about Danny Duffy.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he's healthy. I mean, his velocity's down. I'm concerned there. I predicted, my one prediction for the year that may be correct, that's still holding strong, is I thought Jake Junis would be one of the top 40 pitchers, starting pitchers in baseball, which is, you know, that's not, you know, anything crazy, but he looks really good, and he looks legit. I mean, sure, he's pitched in cold weather that it's hard to hit, but he really looks good. We know what Jason Hamill is. Truthfully, we know what Ian Kennedy is. He's going to have stretches like this where he's really good. He's going to have stretches where he can't get out of the third inning.
Yep.
And that's just who he is. And that's fine on a team that's got two really good starters. Then you slot Kennedy in there and you feel good. But, you know, if Duffy doesn't come around, it's Junis and a whole bunch of – you get five innings out of Hamill that are usually pretty good, and then the third time through the order, bad things happen. Kennedy's going to be there, and then he's going to have a month where he's somebody you don't want to see. And I don't know – you know, coming up, there are some live arms. There are more bullpen arms than starters, I feel, right now. But, you know, you've got a guy like Trevor Oakes that could come up from Omaha and maybe be pretty good. They've got some arms. There's some hope. I'm not sure it's going to be realized this year. Conceivably, by next year, I could see this being a decent rotation. Young, a little unknown, but, you know, maybe get the kinks out second half of the season. And I wouldn't be surprised if your opening day starter next year is Jacob Junis.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be my early 2019 prediction. How about that?
Yeah, that's good. I like that. You know, Dayton has said before you usually need about 8 starting pitchers because you can't count on all 5 to last all year long. And that's what's scary because you just went through it. Junis is their number one right now. Duffy, there's concerns. Hamill's been okay so far. Kennedy's been, you know, he is what he is. Hamill and Kennedy are what they are. Skoglund's your fifth starter. He struggled the other day, but he hadn't pitched in a while, so you maybe give him a pass for that start. But he hasn't shown anything other than the one start when he debuted last year against the Tigers that he's going to be an answer in this rotation. You mentioned Trevor Oakes, but what other guys do the Royals have that are ready to step in that aren't just plug gap measures for the rotation if Duffy or Junis or somebody gets hurt?
Well, yeah, you know, that's kind of the problem. I mean, do you look at a Heath Philmyer, you know, Jesse Hans on the 60-day DL, that was going to be number 6. That's your 6th starter right there, and he's probably done for the season anyway.
Carnes got hurt. Yeah, they thought Carnes would be in the rotation, and now he's going to probably be in the bullpen.
Yeah, I think they've given up on him as a starter. You look at the bullpen, is there somebody there that could step forward? I don't think so. You could spot start Brian Flynn, I think. I'm not confident that he'd have great success there. You know, they are a little pinched right now. I mean, Oakes is going to be the next guy in, okay, in my opinion, and he's got some experience. I mean, I think there is hope that Oakes, he's not going to be an ace, but he could be your 4th starter maybe. Again, 2019, maybe they got some guys. They're putting Stamont down in the bullpen where he throws 102 and every once in a while it's a strike. So some of those big names are coming. They're probably a year away, and they're, again, this season, do you rush a guy up? I don't think so. You know, Albert Baird was notorious for rushing guys up in the middle of a season where you're 20 games under 500.
Yeah.
And it usually didn't work out. And I don't think this group of guys is going to do that. And I think that's okay. You know, if we start seeing a trickle come up from AAA, you know, in June, in July, as, you know, and guys will get hurt. You know, somebody we haven't talked about will probably miss 4 starts. That's just how pitchers are. They're fragile anymore, and I don't know why. But I think that's what we'll see. Immediate help, you know, Oakes is the guy.
All right.
And after that, you've got some issues.
Yeah, that's what scares me. Will the Royals get to 500 this year, yes or no?
No.
I agree with you. That's scary. Are the Royals on their way to 100 losses?
No. I think they'll lose between 90 and 95.
Okay. I hope you're right, but yet at the same time, what's the difference between losing 95 and 100? I you know, at that point.
100 gets you on ESPN as a joke. 95, no one notices.
Okay. All right. I got you. I got you. Well, I've been there and lived that, so it wouldn't bother me as much because, we got a couple World Series appearances in the World Series, but you don't want to go back there that quickly. I get your point there. Royals prediction. So you're saying the Royals, all of us here at the station said the same thing. Before Bonifacio got suspended, before Salvi got hurt, we all had 72 to 76 wins. That was our range. That sounds like that's the range you had. And what's your revised prediction now for this team?
Yeah, I did preseason have them at 76 wins. My revised prediction is 71 and 91.
71, 91. Okay. Now let me ask you this. The Ohtani kid from Japan, he's something early in this year. Do you think this is going to start to open the door for more athletes and players? I mean, pitchers are athletes. I mean, they play all kinds of positions besides pitcher when they're not pitching, when they're in college or in high school. But they get to the big leagues, and it's like, oh, that's all you can handle. We want you to focus on pitching, or you could pitch, but you're going to be better as a center fielder. Do you think this might open the door with the Angels allowing him to do both? And they don't have him do, it every single day. He's had some days off here and there. But do you think that might open the door and change the way baseball's played in regards to more guys getting a chance to play every day as a pitcher and slash in the field or as a DH?
I hope so. I'm not sure it will, especially in the American kids. Mm-hmm. We get so specialized so fast. I coach a youth baseball team. My best athletes are my best pitchers.
Yep.
Even at the college level, you see a lot of good pitchers that DH, play first base, play the outfield on their off days. I would like it. I think it's tremendous. He's much must-watch TV right now.
Yeah.
I think it's just fantastic because it shakes up the status quo, and I would like to see other guys do that, but it's also a load. Being a starting pitcher in the major leagues, it's not like 10U baseball. You're not just walking out there and throwing as hard as you can. There's a lot of prep. And I wonder how it will work over the course of the season, if Ohtani will start to wear down a bit, if we'll see some degradation either at the plate or on the mound. If not, I hope it doesn't happen. I mean, I hope he's MVP and Cy Young. I hope he's all of that. I think it would be tremendous for baseball, and I think it would be fun if there were more guys like that. It's unique now, so it's got everybody's attention, but I think it would be tremendous, just for the game itself, and imagine the roster flexibility.
Yes.
If you had a guy like that on a team. I mean, it's like the Angels are playing with a 26-man roster versus a 25-man roster.
I agree, and I would love to see it as well. And here's the other thing this is something I fear, though, is that we just talk about it. At some point, a guy's going to get hurt. It's hard to go through the whole season unscathed as a player. It's also hard to go through a season as a hitter without going through a hitting slump. You're going to. The best hitters go through slumps. The pitchers are going to have a couple bad starts. My fear is that if he has an injury, or if he struggles in two or three starts in a row, or if he goes and does a 1-for-15 stretch at the plate, they're going to go, it's just too much. And they pull the plug on that experiment when it could have nothing to do with one another. You know what I'm saying? It couldn't even be related. It just could be that's baseball. That's the law of averages. I'd hate to see them pull the plug based on that fear.
Yeah, and I agree. And I could see them, the first slump, like you said, pulling the plug on it. I mean, are the Angels committed to this, or are they looking for a reason for this not to work?
Yep.
And I don't know the answer to that, and maybe somebody around the Angels does. But yeah, I mean, guys go 1-for-20 all the time. And it's not because they were pitching every fifth day. It's because they went 1-for-20. That's how baseball works.
Exactly.
So I hope they stick with him because, I think it's incredibly entertaining, and I just like something different in the game.
Yep.
That isn't contrived, like starting a guy on second in extra innings or a pitch clock.
It's great for the game, I agree. All right, World Series prediction. Who you got in the series? Who's winning it this year?
Oh, I think I had. I'm trying to remember what I predicted, and I forgot.
I got a $100 bill just itching to place it down in Vegas, Clark, so I am
well,
highly anticipating this prediction.
Well, then I'm your guy. I think we're going to have Dodgers over Yankees.
Dodgers over Yankees. All right. And time for an off-the-wall question. Since you're not superstitious, I already asked that at the very beginning, today is Friday the 13th. Who is the best player or athlete you remember or recall that wears number 13?
Oh, number 13.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to even think of who wore 13.
Mm-hmm.
Wore 13. Do I count?
I guess you could count yourself. I'm talking any athlete in any sport. Doesn't have to be baseball. It could be an athlete in any sport. 13. You remember a guy was 13 that was really good? See, I got George. Paul George with the Thunder wears 13.
George is awfully good. Mm-hmm. I may have to go with him simply because I've drawn a blank on who wears 13.
What number does Salvi wear?
Salvi wears 13, but I hesitate to call him the greatest athlete ever.
Okay. Well, I don't want to say
the greatest player. Comparison, Paul George is better.
Okay.
We got to say that.
Okay. Okay. But now, Clark Fosler's right up there with Paul George and Salvi. Is that what we're saying?
Put me right in the mix. Put me right in the mix.
It's funny because I started thinking about that before I was going to ask you the question, and it is really hard to come up with guys that wear the number 13. Dan Marino was one, yep. Wilt Chamberlain.
There's your winner, Wilt Chamberlain. Very good, yes.
Wilt Chamberlain, a winner on and off the court. Absolutely, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Clark, let everybody know how they can read your guys' work.
You can catch us on Baseball Prospectus, Kansas City, BPKC. Lots of good writers. I hardly ever write, so there's always good stuff up there.
Fantastic. Thanks for the time, Clark. We'll talk to you again later on in the season.
All right, thanks a lot.
That's Clark Fosler of Baseball Prospectus, our guest today on The Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill and Downs.